Kuwait would serve as the main launching area for a U.S. invasion of Iraq. As the likelihood of war grows, expatriates from the U.S. and Asia increasingly are making plans to leave the Emirate. Some already have sent their children to stay with relatives. From Kuwait City, NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
Maureen Aldakiel, an American citizen, has called Kuwait home for more than 20 years. The Missouri native is married to a Kuwaiti and well remembers the 1990 invasion, when suddenly Iraqi soldiers and tanks filled Kuwait City's palm tree-lined streets. Aldakiel hid out in a relative's home for 6 weeks until the U.S. Embassy arranged for her to flee to safety. 13 years later, a possible U.S. attack on Iraq has her again making plans to leave. At a Starbucks in the upscale Mishrif neighborhood of Kuwait, Aldakiel says her biggest fear is not really an Iraqi scud landing in her neighborhood or a chemical or biological attack. Rather, she says she worries most about the potential for anti-American violence by extremists if the U.S. goes to war.
Are there elements within Kuwait that might take advantage of the situation? We've heard that it's very likely that martial law will be imposed. And I run an American business. I don't want to keep our business open to be a potential target. It's likely we may have to close down. So it's a tough decision to make.
A tough decision because Kuwait is where her family, job, and life now are. Georgia native Lori Cross agrees. She's lived here for 16 years. The October fatal shooting of an American Marine by Islamist radicals was terrifying, she says. Then the slaying of an American civilian last month, she says, only increased the stress.
That's when my parents were on the phone. I can tell you the phone lines from Georgia were burning up. And the emails were coming from my family, encouraging me to come home.
For the morning commute into work, Cross says she now wears a headscarf over her light hair and varies her driving route as advised by the U.S. Embassy. She says most of her U.S. friends here are teachers at three American schools that have temporarily closed due to war fears. Those friends have all left the country. Her 13-year-old daughter seems to be handling the added stress well, she says, but her 10-year-old son was having trouble sleeping.
He asked some very bizarre questions like, well, should we be walking around with automatic weapons? And, 10-year-old boy questions, about what we should do. And we had a thunderstorm last week, and he wanted to come and make a pallet in our room on the floor rather than in his own room. He's not done that in years and years, since he was 3 or 4 years old.
Both of these American women have the financial and family support to leave Kuwait quickly if necessary. The expatriates who could have a much harder time are the hundreds of thousands of contract workers from South and Southeast Asia who cook, clean, build, and maintain many Kuwaiti homes and shops. Abdul Kalam spends his days sweeping the marble and granite-tiled floors of the Marina Mall, Kuwait's newest addition to conspicuous consumption in a city already packed with glitzy malls. The Bangladeshi native says family members back home are asking him to leave.
Bangladesh, give the Biman flight.
We're ready to leave on a flight if our embassy says we should, Kalam says, but we're all troubled by the prospect of war. So many people are here from Bangladesh to make money, and war will mean an end to that income for us. A fellow janitor, Yasin Shakar, chimes in that he and his friends are sending even more of their income home as the possibility of war increases. Others, he says, have already sent children back home to relatives. But there's been no mass exodus or panic by expatriates living here. They're a little fearful, cautious, and glued to any news on the possible war as they work to separate fact from rumor, like the false one about the airport closing down in 48 hours. Many native Kuwaitis, however, seem to take it all in stride with a kind of confident calm. Saddam is very weak now to make any problem for us here in Kuwait, says Hassan al-Nasser, a retired professor at Kuwait University. He's sitting quietly in an outdoors courtyard. He casually thumbs the ubiquitous prayer beads men here carry. Al-Nasser then adds, but Saddam is still a criminal and a killer, and when someone is dying, he says, he may try to take others down with him. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Kuwait City.